you've got your Bible, it's always a good way to start. Turn to Galatians 5. Everyone's had a good week? Anybody had a bad week? Oh, okay. They do come now and again, don't they? Bad weeks. Hey, so for the last few times I've preached, I've been talking about walking in the Spirit. And I just can't get away from it. So the title of my message this morning is Freedom in the Spirit. Because I think God has enabled us to be free. But so often we're not free. And he wants you to be free this morning. So look, just to refresh, you know, one of the things I talked about is I believe everyone should be able to hear from God. Everybody should be able to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to them. Hear God speaking. And in fact, that's the way we're to live our lives, hearing from God. But if you're not hearing this way, for one reason or another, it'll come this way. It'll come from somewhere. It'll come through someone. God even tried to, I think, speak through creation. You can go for a walk in creation, and sometimes, you're suddenly just struck with the awe of how amazing the world is, and then you suddenly, you know, can receive from God. But God's trying to talk to us all the time. Yes. And our challenge is keeping this open. And one of the things that I think sometimes happens, like patting your head. Okay, everybody pat their head and touch their stomach. Oh, you're supposed to go around, aren't you? Yeah, I can't do it anyway, so. The blockages here, you know, sometimes I think as Christians we think, oh, I've asked Jesus to forgive my sins, then it's all clear. But I think because we live in a world that has decay and because we have a flesh, a body, a part of us that tends towards evil, at times we end up with sin between us and God. Now, God forgives us that sin, but I think we've got to go through a process so often of what I'd call purification, of bringing it before God, going, God, I'm sorry about this. And when we don't, we just slowly stop hearing from God. And again, they've got other people around us keep talking. And I don't know about you, you know, look, I'd much rather hear from God personally this way than from my wife or from my children. It's much better that I'm hearing it this way, isn't it? And so what I felt I should just do to start off with is get you, and we don't often do this in our church, but I feel weird to kneel. And I want you to just to clear and ask God for forgiveness of anything. And what happens with the Holy Spirit is sometimes he just puts one thing on your heart. Maybe it was the way you talked to someone as you were going through life this week or even today. Maybe there's some things you go, man, I've been doing something or not doing something, or there's something where you know the Holy Spirit speaking to you and you're not doing it. Why don't you just clear? Yeah, God, I've got a swimming pool and a spa, and I love my swimming pool and I love my spa. In fact, I swam in my swimming pool, which was very cold this morning, and jumped in it. But what I find with my swimming pool is that stuff gets in there all the time. Leaves, bugs. I don't know. There's been so many bugs this year, and they just seem to fly into my pool. And all these bugs. And so I have to get my screen thing. And I've got it so that I can do it important. I have to just go around and get all the bugs and the dirt and flick them out. Now, if I don't do that, they all just fall to the bottom. And then I have to vacuum my pool out. And I've got to have a filter going all the time. A few years ago, my big filter broke. We've got a pool that's got 50,000 litres of water in it. And I had one of those tiny, tiny little ones that you get in one of those small Intex pools. And I thought, I'll just connect that one. And I was told as long as I kept the water moving, which meant I jumped in and I got the water moving, it would actually work. Oh, I thought, oh, yeah. But you've got to keep filtering. So what do I mean? I think in the Holy Spirit and with God, we've got to keep filtering. You've got to keep going back to God and saying, God, I'm sorry I haven't been listening to you. I want to keep it open. Because what happens is if it gets closed, then the voice gets harder to hear. It gets harder and harder, and then we're not hearing God as much as he wants us to hear. And what we do is we move into what I call automatic mode, default mode, which is religious, which is legally based, and is all about just what we think we have to do because that's what the Bible says. Whereas God wants us to walk in a freedom that we're listening to the Holy Spirit. You can't live in freedom unless you're listening to the Holy Spirit and letting him speak to you. So I thought what we do just to start off with is we just kneel. If you can. If you can't kneel, that's fine. Just sit there. But if you can, let's just kneel and get it clear with God. Sorry if you forgot your cushion today. Okay. And I just want you to ask God to forgive you. You with God. We don't need any music. Lord, I just pray right now that you'd help us and you'd speak to us. And Father, right now we just ask for forgiveness for the things in our lives. We ask you to forgive us for not listening to you. We ask you to forgive us for not obeying when we hear. Lord, we ask you for the sins of omission, things where you've taught us to do and we haven't done them. For knowing when the good is good way to do and we haven't done it, Father. Just forgiven. I want you just to talk to God just in a whisper and just clear up anything in your life. Maybe it's something you watched. Maybe it's something you did. Maybe even in your thoughts. Lord, we thank you. Your word says that when we confess our sin, you're faithful and just to forgive us of all our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you just thank him? Just out loud. Just thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your cleansing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. Whoa. Get back up. I think that's a good practice to do each day. Keeping the communication clear. So, the other thing I talked about was letting the Holy Spirit work within you. And, you know, the whole power of the Holy Spirit, again, I just remind you, I said about the whole thing with at times with Pentecostals is that we're more concerned about everything on the outside. And seeing God move in other people. And the first way God moves and his power works is that he works in me to enable me to change my life. And what happens a lot of times is people get saved and very quickly they're listening to the Holy Spirit and they change. But after a while, we can get to the stage where we think we've arrived. We think that we're doing enough. And I suppose it's what I'd call, in a sense, lazy Christian, where we stop listening to God all the time. See, God wants you to let the Holy Spirit flow through you all the time in all areas of your life. He doesn't want it to be just on Sundays. It's good on Sundays, but it's got to be something that is permeating through everything we do. When I get up in the morning, to when I go to sleep at night, when I'm at work, I want to be listening to what God wants me to do. Hearing his voice is just so important. And last time I talked about, imagine your home. If everybody in your home was led by God's Holy Spirit. Imagine that. If you're a wife, just imagine if your husband met your needs before you even asked. Because he's listening to the Holy Spirit. So he doesn't need to be told to mow the lawns. Because he just does it. Husbands, imagine if your wife was flying the Holy Spirit. Maybe she wouldn't say some things because you were already about to go do those things before she said anything. Imagine if our children were led by the Holy Spirit. Oh my goodness. We'd never have to say, can you please tidy your room and make your bed? Because they would just know that they need to do those things. Imagine a church where everyone was led by the Holy Spirit. What would that look like? We wouldn't need any notices about reminding you to get into a connect group. Because everybody would go, oh, I need to be meeting with people. During the week, I need to get some people around me. And even if there wasn't any organized by the church, I'm going to meet with some people and pray with them during the week because I know I can't do this Christian walk by myself. You wouldn't need to say, anything about giving. Oh, that'd be good, wouldn't it? Because everybody would just do it. They'd be led by the Holy Spirit. Oh, now you're not so keen, are you? So you're looking, what does that mean? If we were led by the Holy Spirit, we would be way more loving. We'd be way more concerned about other people than we are about ourselves. Because the Holy Spirit's always talking to us about others. It would be amazing. So, Galatians 5, verse 1. So Christ has truly set us free. The only reason we've been set free is because Christ has paid for our sins. He's cleared it up so that we've got access to God, that we can hear from God, that we can walk with God. Remember I said Adam, I believe he was walking along on earth talking to God as naturally. In fact, there is a possibility that possibly Jesus was walking in the garden and that's who he would come and hear and see and talk with. Now, that's just me surmising, but he was open. He could hear God. He was talking to God. He could definitely hear him coming because when they'd sinned, they quickly said, let's hide because we could hear God coming because they realized they were naked. So there was an interaction. Jesus could hear God the same way. He could hear him through everything. So he said all the time, my will is to do the will of the Father. I listen to the Father and I do what he says. And so he walked on listening all the time to what the Father said. Have you noticed that a lot of times he never did anything the same? He didn't have a formula for his miracles. It wasn't that, hey, if you want to fix eyes, you always spit in the mud and put that on their eye and then their eye see. He did it in one case, in other cases he just spoke. You see, we get into these automatic modes that we just think, oh, well, that's the way I used to do it. And we don't go back to the Holy Spirit and go, what do you want me to do? Moses got caught with that. Moses was told to strike the rock and the water would come out. Wow, great miracle. Comes around again and God says, speak to the rock. But he's used to the old system and so he just strikes the rock. And it works, but it wasn't the way God wanted it to be. You and I have got to be constantly going, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do here? So we are free. We are free because Christ has truly set us free from all our sins. Now, make sure you stay free. So Paul's saying here, there's a chance that you may not keep that freedom. There's people here that he's talking to in Galatians that had lost their freedom. They had gone back to the old way, which is rules-based, the law. And don't get tied up again in the slavery to the law. Now, the Old Testament has the law that Moses gave, and basically I would say it's a whole lot of rules on how to live. And it was good advice. It was a good way to live. But nobody could keep it 100%. And nobody could do it. And so what God said was, hey, I'm bringing you Jesus so that you can connect with the Holy Spirit and now you can live a life without the rules. Now, I don't know about you, that's a scary concept. It's a scary concept because then I can do whatever I like. And you can do whatever you like. And I'm more scared about you than I am about me. Well, no, hold on. I'm more scared about me than I am about you. So what do we live? We're living in a life where we're listening to what God says and we know the law, we know the word, But we don't just automatically do it, and we don't see that that's the way that I get free. We know that we get free by listening to the Holy Spirit. Let's do an example. The Sabbath. Bible, Ten Commandments, says keep the Sabbath. And so the Jewish people became so strong about the Sabbath. You don't do any work on the Sabbath. On the seventh day, you don't do anything. You don't even do this and you don't do that. And so they had all these rules. And what Jesus brings with the Holy Spirit is, hey, look, the Sabbath is a great, the word is right. The word's right. It's a good thing to do. It's an important thing to do. But now you've got to apply it with the Holy Spirit and be led by the Holy Spirit. You know, and so there's a few examples where David's out with his men and they're hungry. So he goes in and he eats the bread that's supposed to be set aside for only the holy people. And everybody goes, that's wrong. No, he's been led by the Holy Spirit. He's gone in and eaten the bread and it's there for them to get sustenance and to be able to do what they needed to do. But if you get so legalistic about the rules, then you go, well, you have to do this. You know that anytime anybody says, I should do this, I go, ooh, should I? Now, they may be right, and I've got to go to the Holy Spirit, but in a sense, I'm free. I don't have to do what you tell me to do, but I do have to do what he tells me to do. Now, what happens is that we've got this little flesh thing that rises up, our own little nature that rises up, and that sometimes is actually what overrules, and it's not what God wants us to do, it's not what the rules are, it's what we want to do. And we've got to keep going, no, I'm coming back to what is it that God wants me to do? What is it that makes me free? So we don't want to get tied up again in slavery to the Lord, law. We can tend to be, I think, lazy in our Christian walk, so we just carry on. Let's lose a good example. Going to church on a Sunday. You're all right, you're here today, so that's okay. Do you have to go to church every Sunday? Well, Ooh, Alan, it's a trick question. Oh, my dad's saying yes. Do you have to go to church every Sunday? Well, you're free. You're free. You don't have to go to church every Sunday. How do you know whether to go to church on a Sunday? Well, you ask the Holy Spirit. Now, here's where we get a little bit tired, because sometimes what we want to do is what we want to do. And we'd be too scared to ask the Holy Spirit, because he'd probably say, yes, you do need to go to church. But we go, no, I'm tired. I need to sleep in. Well, why are you tired? Oh, well, I was doing this last night. Now, again, you are accountable to God, not to me. And you've got to listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, look, what it starts at, maturity means that you're able to assess and to exercise good judgment. When my kids were little and they were around 4 or 5, I didn't let them cross the road by themselves. Why not? Because I'm a mean dad. And I say that they've got to hold my hand when they cross the road. Because I'm mean, eh? Well, no, I know that they don't know how to look and make sure that it's safe to cross. So I'm best to just grab their hand and walk across with them. But there comes a time that now that they're over 18, where I don't hold their hand to cross the road. Why not? Because I believe that they have got maturity to be able to assess themselves. You see, what happens often in our church and our Christian walk is that we start out as immature, and we need people who are going to say, look, follow me as I follow Christ. You need to be at church every Sunday. And that's a good thing. You need to be there. But as you become mature in your Christian walk, then you begin to go, I need to assess, do I need to be there? Now, I have a habit in part of my life that I'm going to go to church whatever I can, I'm going to try and get to church, whether it's this church or another church, because it's part of my, built into my life, and I believe it is something that has helped me and is positive. And, you know, we were away on our break for 8 weeks and we went to 12 different churches. And people go, oh, why'd you do that? Weren't you on a break? Shouldn't you have not gone to church? And I could sort of go, what do you mean? It's a part of it. I did ask the Holy Spirit where I should go. And I suggested one place and Eleanor said, oh, no, I don't think we should go there. And I went, okay. Because you sort of, you have conversation. The similar conversation you have with your wife is similar to what you have with the Holy Spirit. Or the similar conversation you have with your husband, it's a similar one. You go, Holy Spirit, I felt there was one that we needed to go to. Ah, Eleanor didn't want to go to that one. I thought, okay. And so we just went along. I mean, we were planning it a few months out. I came back again. Holy Spirit, oh, I really feel we should go to this church. And I said, and now Eleanor's suddenly, oh, well, okay. Yeah, if you feel, well, yeah, let's go to that one. And it was good, and it was. It was some divine meetings that I had and meeting people there. I want to be open to the Holy Spirit because it makes life way more exciting than just doing what you have to do. Because I don't know about you, it's pretty boring otherwise. I want to be led by the Spirit in everything that I do, where I go, who I talk to. Every conversation is divine. Every person I meet along the way, I'm going, Holy Spirit, what have you got for this person? What do I need to say? Because I think we confirm, and look, I know that there'll be some of you sitting here going, hold on, Ellen, we're going to end up with some weird people in our church. If everything we do is Holy Spirit, then we throw away everything and we get out of control. Don't put your hand up, but how many people would be a little bit concerned, man, and have seen people out of control? The thing that we've got, that we've all got to get, is we've got to get word-based, knowing God's word, and led by the Holy Spirit. We need both. And in the middle of that is love. Because you can know something that you should do and not do it in love. You could know that you need to talk to someone about something in their life that's not right. And you can be totally right about the Holy Spirit telling you to go do it. But if you go do it without love, you're right, but you're wrong. So I got to be led, but I got to know the word. You know, often for me, I'm going, what Bible verse or what Bible story or what Bible character does this fit with? And trying to go, what, how does it fit? Because they're all there to help you. And the more you know the word, the more you know what the Holy Spirit's leading to. We had a guy in our church a few years back who got really set free on hearing from God. And he was hearing God and he was writing all these things and he was giving them to lots of people. And we started looking at him and we thought, yeah, this is really good. He's hearing from God. But we'd pick up the odd thing in there that was actually contrary to Scripture. So we went and chatted to the guy and said, hey, look, you know, you've got these things that you've written. And look, it's great you're hearing from God, but this doesn't line up with the Word. He didn't take that very well. Got a little upset by it and started saying, you're trying to shut me down and shut down the Holy Spirit. I say, no, we've got to have the balance of both. It's got to fit in with what the Word of God says. If it doesn't fit in with the Word of God, then it's not the Holy Spirit speaking it. It's what they call discernment. We've all got to learn how to discern. Go back to Adam and Eve. Eve is told something by the serpent. Hey, you'll be all right if you do this. She didn't discern. She went, oh, I'm going to do this. And then she talks to Adam. Adam doesn't discern. All of us need to discern. You've got to discern what I'm speaking. You've got to go home and go, oh, okay, man, what do I think of the word? You might even have a chat to somebody. Because, hey, what do you think here? Is that contrary to the scripture? I spoke 2 ministers on the Holy Spirit. And after 2, I had a friend in the church who came and talked to me. And said, Alan, look, I loved your message. Everybody else said they loved their message. But he came in and he said, and he did it in an amazing way. In love, and just sort of said to me, mate, I just wonder whether you've just got a bit far this way and you need to bring some positive. And he was totally right. I went back and listened. Now, I've got to be listening to the Holy Spirit. I've got to be open that someone's going to come to me and say, Alan, you've got that out of line. In fact, I'm better for it because he did. And then I preached another message, and just at the end of it, a lady just said something to me, and I thought, ooh, I think I went a bit far. So I said to Eleanor, can you just listen to this message? And she was halfway through and she said, no, I think you're spot on. I think you're fine. She got to the end and she goes, yes, that lady's right. We've got to be listening to the Holy Spirit. We've got to be going, hey, I could get it wrong. Peter hears from God in one verse. You know, he hears, Jesus, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And whoa, that's amazing. And then the next minute, half an hour later, what he's saying is rubbish. And Jesus says, mate, you've got it wrong. In fact, he's a little bit more extreme than that. Get behind me, Satan. Like you and I have got to know that listening and walking in the Spirit does have some traps to it. But we've got to discern. All the time, you've got to be discerning and listening to the Holy Spirit. And we've got to be open to have the conversation with people. Now, that's hard. That's really hard if someone comes to you and says, mate, I think the way you talked to that person was a little off. Oh, who are you to tell me? Oh, sorry, I got some people fright. Sorry. Just checking you're awake. We've all got to be walking our life listening to the Holy Spirit. And I can tell you that it will save you a lot of problems. I've used this illustration before, but my dad here, when I was about five, he drove, we were going out to dinner to a person's place, and he parked the car, and he felt the Holy Spirit say to him, lock the car. He thought, oh, I need to lock the car. He's got a young family. Oh, looked around, the area looks pretty safe. We're in Brisbane, Australia, you know, safe place, Brisbane. Again, the Holy Spirit locked the car. Nah, just didn't. Left the car open. Later, I said to Dad, I need to go get something out of my car. And he said, out of the car. And he said, oh, yeah, go get it. I'm 5 years old. I might even just ask Mum. So I'm 5 years old. I ran down, get into the car. The car was on a slope. And at the end of the slope was a 10-meter drop. And it was one of those old Holden ones where, you pull the handbrake out, but then you just flick it and it goes straight in. Do you remember those? No, some of you were too young. You don't know. There were these cool brakes that you just pull out, and then to get them off, you just go flick it like this and it would go straight in. They were Holdens. Very good. And so I'm in the car getting this stuff out, and I kick it, and boom, the thing goes in, and the car starts to roll. Oh, no. And I scramble out, the car runs over my leg. It's all right, I can walk, it's okay. But runs over my thing and then goes down and then just about goes over the bank. Dad comes out. Oh, I remember the Holy Spirit saying to me, lock the car. Lock the car. You know, we've all got to be listening to the Holy Spirit on little things. It's throughout our whole life. It's for every area of life. It's the business decisions. I know I've had some business decisions where I've gone and I've gone, oh, I need to do this, I want to do this, and I've talked to some and some have said no, and I've sort of gone, oh, and then out of my own thing, I've gone and done them, and it's cost us. You know, nearly went bankrupt because of some which if I'd have just listened a little bit more, I wouldn't have had to go through that process. Some of us wouldn't be in the messes we're in. Like, it's not the devil. You know, sometimes we get too spiritual. Oh, the devil, it's all about the office. It's the enemy. But some of it is because you'd made a dumb decision. And if you'd asked your mum, she'd have told you. If you'd asked your dad, if you'd have asked somebody. Because it's the Holy Spirit, like, it's pure and it's peaceable and it's wisdom. And we need each other. We can't just run on this road where we're just doing the things that we want to do. See, that's the tension. The tension is it about me or is it about what God wants me to do? Okay, let's get back to the Bible. Here we go. Galatians 5 verse 2. Listen, I Paul tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision. Okay, so there's a big discussion in this one about whether you needed to be circumcised or not. It was a big thing to the Jewish people. You had to be. But what was happening was that people were going back to these rules. And basically what he says here is that if you go back to that rule, you've got to try and do them all. No, you need to be led by the Holy Spirit. So let's read it further. To make you right with God, then Christ, if you are counting on rules to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. I'll say it again. If you're trying to find favor with God by being circumcised or following rules, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. For if you are trying to make yourself right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised us. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit of being circumcised or following the rules or not following the rules. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. Faith expressing itself in love. How is your faith expressed? How do people know that you're a Christian? By your love. By our love for people. I mean, we all know the verse that says that they'll know that you're my disciples by your love for one another. How much do we love people? Our faith should be expressed in love, so we would be a little bit more careful sometimes with what we'd say and what judgment we have. Because some of our faith is sometimes expressed through the judgments we make. My faith is expressed through judging you on the rules and are you doing the rules or not. I talked to a guy this week. He doesn't go to church because he's been told by so many Christians he's going to hell for his lifestyle. And so he goes, he says, I've got no problem with God. It's just all these people telling me that I'm going to hell. Now, we've got this problem here is that we know what the word says and it's pretty clear on things, but how do you express it in love? Well, maybe sometimes you just need to keep your mouth shut and love them. It's this, we're led by the Holy Spirit. We're not based on, you know, as soon as you're jumping up on your high horse saying, this has to happen and this has to change and these people shouldn't do this, you end up where you actually have your flesh working. Let's carry on down here because it says it. It's quite scary. Look at this, Galatians 5:13. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. That's our biggest challenge, that my freedom is not used just to live for myself. You know, if I go back to going to church, if it's because I want to go do something that's for myself, then I go, well, I think you've got to go and ask God about that. Holy Spirit. And in saying that, that may be the right thing. You may have some family members you're trying to reach, and that's the right thing. It's the only time you can get to be there. Well, that's led by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit often is saying, yeah, that's okay. I often talk to him and he goes, yeah, up to you. I sort of try and push a little, well, what do you think? No, it's up to you. Okay, well, I'm free. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out, beware of destroying one another. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. If you're sitting there going, hey, Holy Spirit, what should I do here? And following that all the time, you won't follow after your flesh because you're open to the Holy Spirit. It's actually empowering and freeing. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just opposite to what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite to what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. You're not under the law. You're just listening to the Holy Spirit and guiding your life. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity. Let's just stop on impurity. Impurity, what is that? Well, that's when I'm looking at stuff or doing stuff that is sinful and it's making me impure. Well, that's a result of my flesh. But I don't want to live according to my flesh. I want to live according to the Holy Spirit, so I'm listening to Him. Now, that may be different for you and me. You know how some people go, yeah, look, for Eleanor and I, we've decided we don't drink alcohol. I don't think alcohol's right or wrong. It's just something we've decided. I don't think I can put that on anybody else. You've got to hear from her. But once I've heard from the Holy Spirit that that's for me, then I want to live that. And it's amazing how many people try to say, well, you should be free and drink. Well, I could, But I've chosen that I want to live this way for God, and I feel that's what the Holy Spirit said. If the Holy Spirit tells me elsewhere, well, then I'll do it. I'm free. You're sinful now. It's impurity. But look, there's some people that can watch some things and some people can't. You've got to decide for yourself. What I find is the closer I get to God, the less things that I want to do. The less of these things I go a part of my life. But that's not for me to judge somebody else. Because you're not accountable to me. You're accountable to God. I'm accountable to God. So I live my life going, I just want to please God. You know, and I'm doing this sermon today, and I'm listening to the Holy Spirit, and he says, oh, you've got a bit slack on some things. Oh, okay, I've got to, because we just move to what's automatic and easy. Instead of, look, walking in the Spirit means I've got to be constantly going, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do here? What do you want me to do here? And then he starts thinking about attitudes. Bad attitudes. You know, you think, oh, it's okay to have a bad attitude. Well, after a while, the Holy Spirit, bad attitudes aren't any good either. Oh, and you should forgive that person. Oh, but they did this, this, and that. No, you should just forgive them, love them. Oh, but I have these discussions with God. You might not have them. No, I want to live free, so I'm going to follow what the Holy Spirit and keep it pure. It's like your conscience. You know that there's a scripture that talks about searing your conscience. If you sear your conscience, you no longer hear it. And God's a gentleman. I think he comes once, comes twice, comes three times, and then from there it slowly gets quieter and quieter and you can't hear it anymore. And you carry on doing what you want, thinking it's okay. We've got to keep listening. And the more you listen, the more you hear. And it's exciting, isn't it? But let the Holy Spirit produce this kind of fruit in your lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ have nailed their passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us allow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Every part of our lives. Not just some, every part. And I tell you, you will live way freer than you've ever lived before. And you'll assess it when people go, you should do this. Well, I'm listening to you. The Holy Spirit, do I? And he might say, no, you're free. You don't have to do that just because I said. Now, if it comes three or four angles and from different people who are mature, then you go, yeah, okay. So my dad told me I should say something to everybody. And I went, oh, no. But I'm going to say it. Because he said, oh, you should remind people that if they give now before the end of the month, that they'll get their receipt and that you could give. It's a good time to give if you were thinking of giving some more things. Okay. There you go. It might be just for someone to think, oh, yeah, if I just get it in before March, then I can get the money back in the receipt. Well, that's a good thing. I had to listen to my son this morning. He was sitting in the spa, and I thought, oh, I'm just going to sit in the spa. And he said, no, Dad, you've got to go in the pool as well. Oh, but I don't really want to go in the pool. The pool's cold. Like, it's cold. It's not warm. It's cold. Oh, well, I've got to listen to my son. Maybe I do need to go in the pool. Like, people, all the time, we just close off because we get into our selfish mode. God's trying to talk to you right now. Just close your eyes. What's God saying to you right now? What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? It could be all sorts of things. It could be even just somebody that you need to send a text to and say something to. It could be someone you need to go say sorry to, that you've been holding on to something. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? Holy Spirit, we want to be hearing your voice in everything we do. Everything we do. Well, people are just listening to the Holy Spirit. If you don't know Jesus, If you've not had that opportunity to ask Him to forgive you of your sin and enter into a relationship where you're living in a relationship of listening to God and talking with God and hearing Him, it all starts by asking Him to forgive you of your sin. It all starts by believing and asking Him to come into your life, to be your Lord, to change kingdoms, to say, I'm going to serve God. It's all about getting that clear. And while everyone's got their eyes closed, if that's you, if you go, Alan, I need to ask Jesus into my life. I need to start at square one. I want to live a life for God. Maybe for some reason, maybe you have lived a life at some stage, but now you know that right now you're not living for God. And it's as quick as saying, Holy Spirit, come in and forgive me of my sin. And we're going to do that. So if that's you, if you go, Alan, that's me, I specifically want to say that prayer this morning because I want to get right with God. While everyone else has got their eyes closed, why don't you just put your hand up and say, yeah, that's me. I'm going to do that prayer this morning. I've never done it before. I haven't asked Him into my life. Or maybe you have in the past and you know you just got to get right with God. I'm just looking around. Don't be nervous. Your heart's beating, if you feel it, that's the Holy Spirit going, yeah, this is the right thing to do. It may be nerve-wracking. Awesome. Anyone else? Cool. There's another person. Anyone else? I'm just looking around. There's a great sense of the presence of God, peace of God. Okay, we're going to pray. Those two people who put your hand up, you pray this prayer, but if maybe you were too nervous to put up your hand, why don't you just pray this prayer? We're all going to pray it because we all need to get right with God. So just repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you died on the cross for my sin. Please forgive me for all the wrong things I've done. Please come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. Be the boss of my life. Please be my friend. Please fill me with the Holy Spirit. Help me to live for you. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for each person here that they would be hearing clearly from you. All of us would be walking a life of listening to your Holy Spirit. Lord, if there's sin that we need to be convicted of, Lord, I pray you'd speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, speak to our lives. So we clear that. So we hear you, listen to you. Like Jesus is to walk listening to the Holy Spirit, because that's what he did. It's how he did all the things he did, because he followed the Holy Spirit and all his leading. We're going to sing one song before we go. I want you to stand where we are. I think we'll sing a worship song. Yeah. We're not going to have an altar call this morning. I just want you to hear from God. And saying that, if you want prayer for something, maybe you think, I've got a blockage and I'm not hearing from God, we'd love to pray for you. Look, the freedom prayers that we do in church, they're all about helping people hear more from God. That's the main key for them. And it's whether you've been a Christian a long time or a short time, they're for all. In fact, some of the people that have been Christians for a long time, you don't want to go to them. I go, that's like, they're easy. They would probably unlock something in your life. But again, you don't have to do it. It's up to you. You're free. You're free. There's no pressure. Let's worship. Keep listening to the Holy Spirit.